Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his willingness, is how Phillips Brooks put it. And he's absolutely right. Prayer brings us into our awareness of God's presence in a way that we may be aligned to his purpose. And God's heart desire is that our heart desire would be to be with him. And so God invites us into a conversation, and that's what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation with our eyes open or eyes closed, early in morning, late at night. Whether with our hands folded, we're kneeling, we're standing up and raising our hands with praise. Whether we're at a dinner table or a breakfast moment and hold hands with those with whom we are. Or we're all alone, but we're not alone because we are with him. Whether we're happy or sad, glad or mad, whether we're afraid or filled with a confidence, prayer is a way for us to be in a conversation with God, where God then can release more of his presence into our life, and then more life may be in our presence of living within our world. Prayer is the gift given to all of every land, through every continent, for every boy and girl and man and woman, and all the ways in which we experience life. God is present. Nowhere where God is excluded. We may exclude him from our awareness. We may exclude him by our practice of life. But God is not excluded anywhere because he is the Lord of life and the creator of life here on earth. So in a brief message today, connected with all we're experiencing in worship, is the connection about this conversation of a disciple, a follower of Christ, or a seeker to become a follower of Christ, to know that prayer is the language of a disciple. Prayer is the language of the heart unto the Lord. And prayer is a way of connecting our lives to each other into that greater presence of God's promise for each and every one of us. We need God, and we need each other. And prayer brings us together around our shared need. And this is good to have a need. The need is in our awareness that we can't do this on our own. We weren't designed to live this life all alone, but we were designed to live this life at home with God here on earth and made forever in heaven. And we were designed to be able to have a life that we would share with each other. And so prayer is a language in which we will use me and mine and I, but only to get to the larger sense of ours and us and we. Faith begins with prayer, and it grows with prayer and culminates with prayerful action. That is, in our relationship with God, it is built upon this bridge of trust, this bridge of faith language that's expressed through prayer. And the good news that is in prayer is that we don't have to have it all figured out beforehand, because so often we don't know what we ought to pray or how to pray until we just begin praying. But to help us, the Lord Christ then offered a model prayer. Not that every time we pray that we are to pray these 65 words, but that through these 65 words we would discover a pathway that can open us into every form of prayer. I encourage you, I challenge you, that in this day, in this week, that you will particularly open yourself to a prayer that most of you are very familiar with. And if not, it's one that the rest have heard about and been curious of what it was. Called the Lord's Prayer by us, or by Catholics, they use the term Our Father because of how it opens with Our Father. And in the experience of these 65 words is a statement of the presence of God that brings a victory into our lives, even when it seems like there's only loss, there is gain made possible by him. So in the opening of Jesus' ministry, he gathered all who would come, seekers who sat around him, and those who had already committed to belief. And he shared with them many teachings of what his life and ministry was about, and what his death and resurrection would mean. In the middle of that Sermon on the Mount, he then opened this passage that both Cameron and Emma read for us this morning. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. To whom do we pray? Jesus answers that question at the very beginning when he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word our Father is the inclusion for everyone who is willing to come unto the Lord. Oh, it's said that sometimes there are a few people that will arrive in heaven that will be surprised that maybe the Methodist and the Episcopalians were up there also along with Baptist. But the truth is, this breadth of God's grace through Christ Jesus blows our imagination because it fills the imagination of how God created us in this world. And the radical nature of Christ is that on the cross, his last statements upon the cross at Calvary, is he again said this word, Abba, Father. It is the intimacy of our relationship with God. And the Lord wants you to know that he is your Abba. He is the one whom you can trust and be vulnerable with to bring your heart of passion and compassion unto him. And the good news is that our Father is the creator of heaven and earth, and he has a bridge connection. It's a relationship connection from heaven to earth so we may live a heavenly life with earthly power where we are. But it means that we recognize that we are not God. For most people, we've learned enough in life to recognize that we're not God. Some people are still walking around in the blindness of their own conceit, thinking that problems only get solved by them. But most of us have learned enough, either in the marketplace of business, in our family life, our own personal struggles in life, of how much we need the Lord. Our good friends out of Alpha Home or Alcoholics Anonymous helped to pave a way for us that one only begins in the recovery when we can first say, I am an alcoholic. That may not be my sin and not your sin maybe, but each of us come to a place where we say, I am a sinner in the need of the grace of God, created by the Lord, but I am not God. Therefore, I will hallow and worship your name. The word hallow means to honor the Lord. And so the Lord is near, and Jesus gave us permission that we may be able to pray in his name. Begin then with our Father and pray in the name, the personal word of Jesus in your prayer. That's to whom we pray and why we pray. Well, it is out of this need that becomes known, but we pray also with the purpose of our life, that each of us have a purpose that's pulsating inside of us. And the Lord said all of our purposes get aligned with the major purpose, the big purpose, the mega purpose, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, that each of us are sent in a mission in our life, that others may know of about a heavenly love and a heavenly power in their life, and that we're to help to establish that will. One of my prayers now, it's a wild prayer. It's the kind of prayer of, Lord, help us to rediscover the golden rule, to do unto others as we would have them do to us, to hold others to the same standard by which we would want to be held, to help to create a freedom of an expression to build bridges among broken relationships. Another wild prayer I have in the midst of all the accusations that you've done this or that has happened is to all of us to recognize that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God in each and every one of us. And so in this awareness, we have a kingdom of God's will and God's ways to be established into our earth and for his power and in his way. One of the ways that we may help and others in prayer is called intercessory prayer. And so we have a prayer ministry in our church for more than 25 years. It's a room that's established. It's really the power center of our campus, and which then volunteers, church members, can choose any hour in a 24-hour period to come to that room and pray on behalf of others. And people will call and they'll dial 210-738-PRAY, pray. And a person may pick up the phone and simply ask, how may I pray for you? And the person will share a heart on the other end of the phone. And then we offer a prayer. And the prayer then is given to the Lord to be at work in the life of the one. or people within the prayer room writing out prayer cards, the yellow cards that are sent to military people around the world, are sent into the hospital rooms, are sent in troubled homes or places of business. And the yellow cards then are kept by many of the people who receive them as a reminder that people are praying for them, as a reminder that we're not alone. That's a way, profound way, simple way, and available way that each of us then can help to establish that kingdom into the lives of others through the power of prayer. And when we pray for the power of a daily bread. It's what I call the hinge in the prayer. We've opened the prayer with this grand statement about God and God's will and the kingdom and earth. And then we talk about three specific areas for application. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for the meal that's right before us. It is. But that unique New Testament word for daily is a day that's also connected to tomorrow. The Lord, that I trust you for the bread that I have received today, and I will trust you for the bread that I have tomorrow. The Lord, I will not be consumed by worry for a day that has not yet arrived, that as you have given me my need for today, I will live in faithfulness to the bread that I've received to nourish my body, to be faithful in service of you. And then as tomorrow comes, I too then will receive the bread that you offer in that day to be of service again to you. To not take this bread for granted. Many here who've been in situations in your life when you literally did not know where your next meal would come from. And in that experience, you were stretched into a trust. And maybe God touched the goodness of the hearts of others that provided a meal at a needed time or a job opportunity to earn the income for that meal. And then God, like yesterday, with our bountiful blessing, in which nearly 100 families received enough meals to care for them for 2 weeks in the ministry that happens of one of our four hunger ministries that we had in our church in the dining room of our campus yesterday morning. In the sense of this daily bread, it is real. And it's also the bread that's called the Eucharist. It's the bread of communion. It's the bread of Jesus when he said, I am the bread of life. And we celebrate this bread at the time of the Lord's Supper. The bread is powerful. A little boy brought Jesus his few fish and a couple of loaves of bread, and Jesus multiplied them out of the generosity. There's no way to experience joyful prayer without a generosity grabbing our heart and stretching us into a size of God's hope into the lives of others. And then we pray a what in a prayer. This may be the most difficult one to pray. It's a prayer of forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our trespasses for others. So often we begin by wanting to begin by our needs being taken care of how people had harmed and hurt us. But the Lord said for us to really be prepared to receive the grace of forgiveness, we have to stretch ourselves to know what that cost. And what it costs is like Jesus from the cross and said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That the signs of the sins that have hurt your life and hit you hard, maybe brought you to the ground, maybe harmed you in a significant way with a long-term effect. But along the way, the only way that burden of the hurt and the anger and the resentment and a call for vengeance could be removed is by saying, Lord, I give this to you. And then to receive the forgiveness by which God offers for your sin or for my sin. The sense that we are in need for this together is a powerful way of praying. The Lord's Prayer is a way of bringing us all beneath the cross at Calvary and to be able to experience a oneness out of his presence and power. And then lead us into temptation, lead us out of temptation, and deliver us into evil. I've shared with many of you on another occasion that when I was with my father a few days before he died, and the doctor came into the room and said, you know, Mr. Holland, there's no more that we may do here, and Dad decided to go home. And I said, Dad, can I pray with you before we leave here and return to a home place that we'd had for 50 years? And I offered a prayer, and then I said, Dad, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. And he said, okay. I got to this part of the prayer. I said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Dad said, wait a minute, wait a minute. It has always bothered me. What does that mean? Now, this is a man who's about to die. And when we get near our death, we want to make sure that we're not playing any games and that what our faith is really rooted in reality. And so I said, Dad, what it means is that when the day of darkness arrives, we don't want to be found not trusting in you, but that we will be tempted when the darkness comes our way, like death itself, and that our trust in you will deliver us from the evil that the lack of trust will cause us to commit. And he said, okay, let's keep praying. In the midst of letting ourselves relax, even in the face of death within his presence, is exactly why we pray this. You've been caught in the mire of temptation. And maybe in that moment you discovered most real the grace of Christ. When some voice was telling you, you're going down, you're going down, you're going down. No way to get through this. And only to pause and say, Lord, is that right? And then a calm voice of the Lord speaks to you and said, oh no, but trust me. You must trust me to get through this difficult day in which people may be seeking to hurt you, destroy you, or to kill you. But trust me, and I will see you through. I've been there, and you've been there. And then, what is really in the New Testament, it's not in all the translations, but it should be. It's there in the King James Version of how it concludes. It's the great wrap-up verse. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's God's great victory statement, that the kingdom is the ways of God living and winning within our world and forever in heaven. The power, the dunamis, the dynamite of God's presence released from us by his prayerful work from our lives. And that reveals the glory unto him in which our very human lives simply shine upon his way. And we finish with amen, which is the word for so be it. Like we will say amen or amen with joy. So be it with joy, because we know that this way is true. That in this day and for this week, maybe for each day for the rest of your life, but at least for now, at least once during the day, pray this Lord's Prayer. And pray for the Lord to expand your awareness of what it means for you and what's going on in your life right now. And see what God will do. The Lord Jesus will see you through and show you what that means. Because prayer is a way of bringing together, a way of integrating our whole self, our body and our mind and our spirit, our feelings, all of who we are into the fullness of God. If we only pray out words, then we get nothing in return. But if we pray from a depth of our soul or as much of ourselves as we can give attention to, that is good. He will reward us in that way. You know, it's really true what I've discovered for myself. That if I come to God in prayer and I've been praying out my worries in prayer and I'm just as worried after I say amen as I was before I began to pray, I wasn't praying to God. I was praying to the idol of worry. And after the saying that amen, the Lord may catch me the attention by the collar of my soul and say, Leslie, are you ready now to really pray with me to let that go? And give it to me and let me reshape that worry in a way that it will fit you just right. Lord, I need you. Prayer calls our soul into the heavenly realm with our feet here on earth. We're earthy people. We're living our lives right now. We're praying for a world that is under the alarm of the coronavirus. We find ourselves thinking about people in other countries under this threat, in part because of a self-preservation, hoping it doesn't come here and come to me or you personally. But it lets us know that there is a danger of a disease that can take us all down. And that we give that for God's healing power and to bless scientists and medical people and people, each and every one, making good decisions to help bring protection in a vulnerable world. And God, in a strange way, can take bad and turn it into good and bring us even closer together. I got a text earlier today from a wonderful family that has some really hard things going on. And in the midst of this crisis, this serious crisis, they said that there were some of the relational problems, the wounds among people in the family are being healed as they come together around a common need and a common fear for God to be at work. They've opened their hearts of where their hearts really wanted to be, and that was to be right with each other. Because prayer is really listening to the one who created us and sustains us and provides our best pathway forward for all of us. There's so much that God wants to be able to show you in your life that he can only show you with eyes that have been shaped by faith eyes, ears to be able to hear with faith ears, to be able to see more clearly what's being provided along the way. Because prayer really connects our earthly life with heavenly power. The way to live is exactly this way. Yesterday afternoon, I was with a beautiful family, the Cox family. Marilyn, a beloved wife and mother and grandmother, had passed away, and we were at the graveside after having the chapel service, and I asked the family if they would like for us to close the service at the graveside with praying the Lord's Prayer together, and with unison, they said yes, and there we were. In the midst of grief, sustained by a living presence of resurrection, life overcoming death, hope conquering over despair. And as we prayed this same prayer, this Lord's Prayer, it wasn't strange. It was a prayer the family had prayed. It wasn't misplaced because it applies just at the graveside as it does in the boardroom or the sanctuary. It's a prayer that's placed everywhere as we bring ourselves unto him. Oh Lord, hear us now as we pray this prayer together. Will you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Singing is a prayer. Hymns are prayers. As we stand right now and we sing a prayer, let it be a prayer unto the Lord, and to be able to hear the Lord saying to you, trust me, let me come into your life and make you whole. Let my love come, and that you receive my grace and you know me as Savior, will follow me as Lord. Come, let us do this together. For the Lord's Prayer, like life itself and the church life, is meant to be shared together as members in this common call of life. Come and join in the life. And Sarah will be here to pray, and Vicky will be there to also pray with you, and I'll be here to receive your decisions. Now, let's stand and sing this prayer to God.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.